She'll say good morning just as we do a little handover in the technical area at the back. Good morning, everybody. Oh, that was a bit drab and drill. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Ah, much better. Thank you. You're waking me up at the same time. So, today, when it appears on the screen, we're going to talk about freedom. Not the freedom that we think of, freedom in a zoo, freedom for animals, etc., etc. However, I will throw something of that into the mix. But freedom in Christ, freedom in his message, in his gospel. And this is where I do need some technical assistance. Hey. So, the passage we're going to look at today, and it will come on the screen in a couple of slides, and we'll go through it. And I've tried to put as many of the verses that I'm going to study at on the screen as well, just to keep it up there for you. But if anyone would like a Bible, could you raise your hands? And I'm sure a glamorous assistant from the back will appear with one for you. So we will be continuing in our series from Galatians, studying at chapter 5. But I mentioned this word freedom, and I know I said I wouldn't touch on the animal captivity, the zoo, that kind of thing. But the first thing when I read this passage, the first thing that came into my head when I thought of freedom was a film from my childhood called Free Willy. I really hope most people have seen it, so I don't have to explain the entire story. There's this whale. So he's in captivity, and he meets a young boy who's always been in trouble, who's actually with a foster family at the time, always in loads of trouble. He meets this whale, and to cut a long story short, they free the whale, him and the other two people who are looking after him in this aquarium, take him all the way down to the coast with loads of stuff going on. The evil men, as you could declare them, the bad people, trying to stop them all the way, trying to stop the whale from drying out, etc., etc. And I just wanted to play you the scene where Willy escapes. So, hopefully this will work, but...
Don't forget me, okay? Your mom for me. I really love you, boy. I believe in you. You can do it. You can be free. Do it. Do it.
Now come on, Willy. I know you can do it, boy. I know you can jump this wall. Come on. I believe in you, Willy. You can do it. You can be free. Come on. You can jump it.
Things can happen.
Thank you.
So, you've seen that famous clip from Free Willy. That is definitely a film from my childhood that is embedded, I think, within me, having watched it so many times growing up. And as you all chuckled, no guesses for who the evil two men were at the back. They're hating that whale. After all the fights and everything, trying to stop their prized possession from escaping. But right at the end, Willy makes that huge jump for freedom. And actually, we're talking about a slightly different form of freedom. It doesn't feel have to make such a huge jump, because actually Jesus has done that for us. He's made that huge jump for us. We just actually have to accept it and live in freedom in the way Paul talks about in the letter. So why don't we do that? Let's go straight in. So I really hope the font is big enough. It looks big enough on my screen at home, but then I'm only like 12 inches from the screen. So I'm just going to read it, add to it. So it is from the NIV, so hopefully it will follow as much as possible. So, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they could go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So, Paul doesn't write in, like, subtly tones. He tends to be a man who speaks strong and will kind of ram it down your throat a little bit. He's blunt and to the point. He's kind of someone I really like. I really appreciate bluntness. Lots of people here know that I hate being praised and like criticism, so blunt criticism is usually really good, so save that for the end. That would be really appreciated. But, so we're going to just go into a little bit. Actually, just break it down a little bit about why. Why is Paul so emphatic about this? Why is he so into this? So, first little bit, verses 2-6, which I've still got up there, so hopefully it will just help you to follow a little bit. This is this little bit right at the start where Paul is really emphatic about circumcision. Now, there's a bit in Acts, which I have to turn my little other page, Acts 15, verse 1, where actually they're talking about other teachers coming down and adding to the gospel of Christ. Nowhere in the gospel that Christ has preached does it say you have to be circumcised to be saved. However, these men have come down and they've gone, actually, you do need to be circumcised to be saved. They're adding, they're just tainting, they're adding that tiny little bit to the gospel, which actually Jesus doesn't ask us to do. What Jesus asks is for us just to follow him. And that little verse that I'm talking about, just the last bit, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. They come teaching that so clearly. But Paul, as we've seen, says, if you actually choose to follow this new gospel, his gospel of him, circumcision has no value. I don't need you to follow all that. You are not a slave to the law. You need to just believe in me and have faith in me and express it in the right way. And later, we'll look at, well, if you make this decision to follow Christ, what are you going to do with that newfound freedom? But he repeats this throughout. This was great, me getting Galatians, because as a house group, we have just done Galatians for maybe the past two terms. So it was great just delving straight back into it and really, really enjoying it. And what I've noticed throughout the whole book is how emphatic Paul is, and he emphasizes things so many times. He repeats things, because a lot of the time, I think when we listen to stuff, and I know definitely for me, it takes a few times for things to get through my head. I know the band I'm in, the other members would say that quite a lot. It takes a few times for them to get things into my head and understand things for them. But actually, Paul here, it talks about that we need to base our whole lives on the assurance and future acceptance of God, not on fulfilling commands. Now, me and Roger sat down and planned out a little bit of a service, and actually it was really good because he poked me a little bit about putting something in, which I added last night to my notes, so thank you. It doesn't mean that we can just go and do what we want. That's not kind of how this works. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try and follow God's commandments. It just means that that's not how we gain salvation. If you think you can follow everything down to black and white and gain salvation, it's just not the way it works. The way to salvation is through Christ alone. And then Paul goes on, just after this passage, to talk about running your own race. And I thought this was so apt with everything that's happened, with all the gold medals we've just won, which is fantastic, and all the medals Team GB have won. But running your own race. So the passage just says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So in this, the Galatians were doing well. They were following the true gospel until these people have come down and just picked. It feels like that moment I've run a few 10Ks and died, it feels like at each one. But that moment where the water people encourage you to come over to the side and it knocks a few seconds off your time, off that good race you're running. But I've got to say the water is great at that point. But it feels like that moment where they're bringing people aside. They're trying to bring them off the track they're running on that narrow path that we are called to run on. And sometimes we can start really well and veer off course. And Kirsty sitting there will know that I feel a little bit like this has happened. I've been going through a slight crisis of confidence. I think I mentioned this a little bit to Celia the other day when I dropped some gear off, but in my business. So some of you will know I left my lovely cushy job to go and run a business in the music industry. My kind of passion, my love, that's what I really want to do. But I'm sure some people would question why I've done it. I know my dad does occasionally. But I've had this moment where a few weeks ago, I lost a load of contracts, which financially just hits home kind of thing. But that Monday, I had actually prayed to God. I'd sat in Victoria Park praying to him, and I said, actually, I don't want to do some of these. This isn't what I want to be doing. I feel like I'm veering off what you wanted me to do in the first place, what you said I should be doing. You take it away, and let's bring some new stuff in. I didn't quite mean for him to do it the next day and for contracts to disappear in a day, but God works in his own time. But sometimes I feel we veer off course and we stay on there until sometimes something hits to bring us back. And for me, that was that moment just thinking, actually, what am I here for? What do I want to do? But here it's about staying true to that one calling, that one true gospel, not being tainted by the other mishmashes that we as humans can put into it. Don't let anyone pull you aside. And there's this next bit that he talks about a little yeast working through the whole dough. So if we think about someone pulling us off to the side and just planting a little seed, it can grow. And actually it can go a bit like yeast working in bread. So I didn't really get how powerful yeast was and how it actually works. So there's this little video just to show you a little bit about yeast with a balloon. I was tempted, if we'd had enough time, to do the experiment here and create a mess. But let's... I would say if you take one thing away from this sermon, and you can answer that question for me at the end, but I'd rather you took something else away, if possible. But you saw there how yeast just interacted with the sugar. And much like bread, where it makes it rise, you see how incredible just this tiny bit of yeast works. And actually, if we taint the gospel or start down a route, how easy it is for that to impact upon every little bit of our lives. How easy it is to pick at little bits and change it each time. So actually, the key bit of this is not to do that at all. Not to be pulled aside off one race. Not to let that little bit of yeast in. But to stay true to the one gospel. So... you guys kind of, I mentioned, might have a choice. So, for me, you do. And it's what if you've chosen to follow Christ and you're accepting him as your salvation, what are you going to do with your newly found freedom? So, Paul gives us a few options. There's verse 15, you could bite and ravage each other. And be destroyed by each other. So you could indulge in sins of the flesh, like verse 13 is as well. You can enjoy all the freedom you want. You've got this salvation in Christ. You go off, you do what you want. Is that how you want to use the incredible gift that God has given you? The incredible salvation that he has given you? Do you want to be that other athlete who just cuts in on someone else's race, sticks out the foot at the last minute, pulls them aside and just says, oh, just have a rest. Just move across to the side. Is that you? Do you want to indulge yourself in this freedom? Because you know God's given you salvation, so he'll forgive you. Are you going to indulge in everything and just come back to God and say, I'm really sorry, and then go back and do it again? Is that kind of what we do? Or, actually, do we accept, firstly, salvation through Christ? Do we as well accept that we cannot be perfect in the law? We'll always fall short of the glory of God and his law. We're human. I can't believe how many times I fall short and look back at it and think about it. Do we use this freedom to actually express love? just like Christ did? Do we use that freedom to come alongside one another, to come alongside strangers, to come alongside the world in love? There are two little bits. Obviously, Paul's talked about this. Love your neighbour as yourself, which everyone knows is this really famous passage from Mark 12:31, with the second commandment that Jesus asks us to follow. Love your neighbour as yourself. That actually his entire gospel and all his teaching can be followed through this. When I sit down and talk to someone and we start talking about Jesus and the gospel, the simplest way I find to explain things is to say it's a gospel of love. And we had this at a gig once, and the guy was a Buddhist who was running the venue and stuff. And actually, we just sat down and talked about love. And for me, I explained what Jesus means to me in terms of love and what then I'm meant to do with that love. Do we use it to serve others humbly in love? Verses 13 and 14, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Do we use it to go out of our way to serve each other just as Jesus did? This always makes me think of the moment where Jesus washes the feet, the disciples. That real act of service and love. And I had this passage from The Message, which kind of occasionally I use just to bring it to occasionally when I don't understand something. It sometimes simplifies it for me, and then I go back and look at it. But it put it really interestingly in verse 14. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Do you want your freedom to grow in God? All you have to do is to love. And whilst God doesn't ask us to forget about everything else he's taught, that for me is central to our gospel and is central to how people see us is love. So for me, you kind of have a choice as to what you want to do with your found freedom if you've accepted Christ as your salvation. If you haven't, and you want to talk about it more, I'd love to talk to you about it after the service. But I think it'd be great if we could just spend a few minutes actually in prayer thinking about what our choice is. What are we going to do with the salvation that Christ has given us? So let's pray. God, you have given us this incredible gift. This gift of your Son, who has died for us and bled his blood for us. Lord, if we accept that our salvation is only gained through him and following him, help us to understand what your gospel is truly about. Help us to understand what you want us to do with that freedom, with the love that you have shown us. Help us to show that again. God, we can easily be drawn off the path and indulge in sins of the flesh. But Father, you ask us to stay true and steady in you. So God, I just pray for anyone here that is teetering on that path, who might be struggling with things that are going on around them. Help them to stay strong in you. Stay steady on the path. And for those of us, Lord, that are running that good race, as Paul says, let us not be tempted to be pulled off that. Let us not try and take the shortcut. but stay true in you. Amen. So, I know Roger and the team are going to come back up and lead us in a couple more worship songs. So, let's really just praise God for what he has done for us.